You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you're gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
The government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease.
People.
Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You never procrastinate. You never put things off. You always handle your business. But if you didn't have to, and you understand that coronavirus is still out there, and it's out there serious, then of course you handle your business. You stayed in. You kept social distance. You kept your hands washed, and you always wore a mask. Because we got to, brothers. We got to. And sisters. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. And when you go on that page, you'll see at the top, podcast, click on that, and then the drop-down will show African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all times are going to give our Eastern times. This evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by 8 p.m. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon, followed by 9 p.m. to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Monday. So there will be a Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey this evening. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursday, 7 to 9, after 7, with host Shani B. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sister Talk with host Lawanda Chambers from 4 to 6. From 7 to 9, Sankofa Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, please check it out and purchase items from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba, who has been taking our people to the continent for a good number of years, over 450 of our people, providing a trip of a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and If you want to give Brother Mamani a call, his number is 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. He has a trip upcoming this year, Tanzania, November 20th through the 30th, $3,700. I'll talk about the other trips maybe on Wednesday or so forth. And in fact, I'll get him back on to see how things are going, if he's going to have a trip. Rinoco Rashidi, my good friend and brother, Dr. Rinoco. Go to Dr. Rinoco, drrunoko.com, drrunoko.com. He has a trip to Uganda and Rwanda, January 21st to February 4th, 2021. And then he also has a trip going to Kemet, and that is August 1st to August 14th, 2021. I believe both of those trips are $4,200. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. These brothers and sisters are doing the work. They are doing the work, brothers and sisters. They deserve to be supported. They have been diligently doing the work. I respect, have much respect for them. They already are building the Kashi Village in Ghana. It's up. It's happening. And then, of course, what they do with the sustainable seeds, the golden growers, and all the things. Habesha Works Incorporated, dealing with urban farming, urban agriculture, you know, and they train people. So, you know, if you got some space, you can have an opportunity to grow your own food, you know, if you can. And if you can, you should. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Medu Bookstore in Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go visit Mama Nia in the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore. If you want to give her a call, please do so to find out if she has the book that you're looking for. Because if you do that and she doesn't, she'll get it for you, no doubt. 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Go to the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall for books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, a whole array of gift items at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. And Brother Kazimde Ajamu, they have a coffee bar now at the Black Dot Bookstore. And give him a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, because there is light in the Black Dot. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And, of course, their program is called Dare to Win. It's every Thursday night. But if you want to call just to listen, you can do so, or call to, you know, put a question or comment or concern. The number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby is doing an outstanding job of working with our young people and working with our people, period, in the northeastern portion, in the hills, in the mountain areas of Haiti. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay dash Haiti dot org. Akabin Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti are doing, once again, an outstanding job. And they are, of educating our young warriors. That go to Akabit Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Akabit Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You can also use Cash App or PayPal. On Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, where you can make consistent donations to Akabit Institute. And believe me, they're well deserved and they need to be supported. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. October 4th. It is tough being a parent, especially in an alien, hostile cultural environment where your children are viewed as problems to be contained, detained, suppressed, repressed, and if necessary, terminated. Paul Infanyomi Grant. Our children are not to blame for their determined flight into wilderness, into whiteness. I'll read that again. Our children are not to be blamed for their determined flight into whiteness. They neither created this world nor raised themselves, and they are far from stupid. Early on, they recognize that they are burdened with the incomplete and increasingly most difficult task of defeating an enemy who dwells within and without. Those reared as Africans are keenly aware that both corrupting evils grow more entrenched and stronger with every generation. The hard questions are why we still fear need to be asked. Why do we still fear battling our enemies to the death while claiming belief in an African vision of self-defining, self-determining empowerment? Not having created this hell is certainly no excuse for abandoning our children to it. Because we have not provided them with a sufficient empowering social, cultural, and spiritual base, it is understandable that they rebel against our demand that they be African and uncompromisingly African. The call from those who descended from this caves, from the caves of the Caucasus Mountains, is great. We have not fulfilled our role of establishing and strengthening and fortifying space where they can freely be African. Consequently, they continue to be left as easy prey for the wolves. Affirm, the safety and sanity of African children are my foremost priority. Affirm, the safety and sanity of African children are my foremost priority. October 5th. If we accept homosexuality as a right, as is being argued by the Association of Sodomists and Sexual Perverts, what moral fiber shall our society ever have to deny organized drug addictions or even those given to bestiality the right that they might claim and allege they possess under the rubrics of individual freedom and human rights and publicize their literature on them? The lion, the old lion, Robert Mugabe. There is no credible evidence whatsoever that homosexuality existed in Africa prior to the arrival of people from Europe and Asia. Let me say this quickly. Baba Nana Hochi, who was an ancestor who had great respect, who moved from Milwaukee to here in Atlanta. In fact, his wife gave me my name, Oshiemi Adelabu. He said, I have studied many African cultures. Nowhere have I found homosexuality to be embedded in the culture or practiced within the culture. Nowhere. The most important reason for this is that European and African aceles, which is the base of a culture, are decidedly different. The European mind is more receptive to homosexuality in that its desire is bound by extremely individualistic and selfish heathenism,
which thrives on physical pleasure. In contrast, the family collective holds the utmost priority in African communalism. In the collective, individuals are bound at the spiritual level. Based on this alone, one cannot imagine an African society where pedophilia or other forms of homosexuality would emerge. It moves against life. And procreation is the basis of all spiritual order in the universe. Homosexuality is non-productive. Not only is it unproductive, but it is also anti-reproductive. You cannot have an absolute love of children and pedophilia in the same society. They cannot coexist. Pedophilia destroys children. And the root and defining characteristics of classical European society is pedophilia. Affirm, I'm unapologetically heterosexual. Affirm, I'm unapologetically heterosexual. Man. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. That's deep, ain't it? Yes, it is. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you physically do. If you think that our sisters, our women, are bitches and hoes, then if that's what you think, your actions will exhibit that. You will treat them as such. But if you think that our sisters, our women, our queens, are to be respected and protected and admired and cared for, then you will treat them with respect and love and care. It begins with what you think. And if you see and look at this society, how it is portrayed and how our women look and how they're being promoted and the music that we hear and the images that we see. Exactly. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. What have we been told? And who is telling us? What have we been told? And who is telling us? If we have been told that American men are lazy, are no good fathers, no good husbands. American African men are the scourge of society. Then that's what you'll think of them, because that's what you've been told. And because sometimes they exhibit that, it becomes what they call a self-fulfilling prophecy. See, I told you, look at them. That's how they are. And you'll garner that opinion about them. But if you've been told that regardless of what has happened, these brothers should be protected, respected, supported, then you will treat them with respect. You will protect them. You will support them. Rise up. Rise, Africans. Rise, Africans, and unite across oceans of ignorance. Rise, Africans, and unite across the myths of the CIA manipulations. Rise, Africans, and unite across generations of miseducation. Rise, Africans, and unite. Your children are hungry, and you must feed them. Your children are hungry. And you must feed them. They're hungry not because of their bellies, because of their minds. You must feed them the knowledge of self so they can rise and unite.
brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about a subject that you've been hearing a lot about. And for me, I've tackled this subject a number of times. At least I try to. I try to do my best, but maybe today you can help me out by calling 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going to talk about the meaning of white supremacy, the real meaning of white supremacy. I know I don't call it white supremacy, number one. They're not white, and we ain't black. We Africans. They're Europeans or Caucasians. I don't use the word supremacy because they're not supreme. I like to use the term European Caucasian extremism because they're very extreme in their behavior, particularly towards us. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and I use the word racism only in reference to them because there's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. The white race, there's no such thing as the white race. Or the Jewish race, I heard somebody say the Jewish race. There's no such thing. Judaism is a religion, a train of thought like other religions, like Catholicism. But that's one thing that's interesting, isn't it? European Jews are referred in that way. But you don't say Baptists or Methodists, you know, or Catholics. In reference to anybody, you don't use their theology. See, one thing we must understand, that we live in a world dominated by a language. And I've dealt with this too. And I'll continue to do so. You know, where Ozzie Davis said, the English language is my enemy. That the language itself is controlled by Europeans. And that's why we're talking about white supremacy, because when you talk about Donald Trump, and he is a European Caucasian extremist, racist, and the last one, of course, I forgot to use was privileged, because that's what they seek, privilege for themselves over all others. And use racism because they believe that their culture, because there's not such thing as race. Europeans defined the concept of race. They did this in the 1600s, the 17th centuries, not long ago. Look up Carol Linnaeus. Look up Johann Blumenbach. They devised the concept of race, giving everybody a categorical position, the stratification, with them at the top and everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. The first humans on the planet. The first humans on the planet. We have the lowest position. Their rationale is that they came later and they're more highly developed. They're more intellectually developed. And of course, when we look and study their history, we see why they behave the way they behave. We mentioned this many times about the European being cut off by that ice age, mutated. He changed. There's a mutation. Because everything on the planet that lives, it wants to live. And it changes itself so it can live. From a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. Because if it doesn't change or doesn't adapt to the environment that now it surrounds itself, then it dies. Then it dies. So when Europeans got cut off by that ice age, no longer did they need melanated skin. No longer did they need broad nose to warm the hot arid air. No longer did they need to big lips, big kissable lips to throw off that heat. No longer did they need close curled hair to let off that heat from the top of their heads. They didn't need these anymore. No longer that thin, slender body. They became short and stocky with hair all over them. One of the things they had to have hair down the back of their necks. Why? Because as the blood pumps from their heart, where does blood need to go more importantly than any other part of your body? From your heart to what? To your brain. But it must go through your what? To your neck, to your vertebrae. So your neck must be insulated to get to your brain so you can function. Hair all over their body. No longer do they need that broad nose. They have a thin nose to warm the cold arid air before it got into their lungs. No longer did they need big lips. Now they got these thin lips to hold in whatever heat it is. That's why, you know, when they talk about us looking like them, no, y'all look like monkeys. You seen a monkey? Seen chimps? They got big lips? No, hell no. They got thin lips. It's almost like, you know, if you top of your lip, you know, there's no lip. It's just top of your lip and then no lips at all, you know. You didn't need that. You want to hold in that heat. But what's deeper is because of that environment, what it did to their physiological, not just necessarily their physiological makeup, but their mental makeup. Because that environment was so harsh and unyielding, it developed a selfishness, a greediness, a callousness, an indifference. There was no protection for the woman. The woman had to acquiesce or capitulate to whatever desires the man had. Cartoons back in the day, they used to show the caveman would go bop the woman upside the head and drag her into the cave. You know, and because she got chosen, she's smiling all the way. But of course, how they were treated, how women were treated and have been treated. That's why I just read the piece on homosexuality in the Inye Sesem. Why homosexuality has flourished in Europe and coming out of Europe. Because of environment. The ancient Greeks. Once again, that's why we should not use the word mentor. In fact, when you hear somebody use the word mentor, you can kindly say, hey, you shouldn't use that word, because when you understand who mentor was in the Odyssey or in the Iliad by Homer, he was assigned to watch Odysseus' son while he went on the Odyssey. And in that time, mentor sexually abused his son. So we shouldn't use the word. There is an African word, jegnak. Jegnak. Excuse me, jegna. Jegna is the singular word for an individual who watches over brothers and gives brothers and sisters instruction. Jegnak is the plural. It's the people who give instruction, who give up their time, who educate, who model and encourage and so forth. Jegnak. The jegna Jegna. Yeah. Shouldn't use those words. That's why a few times on this program I've been saying that there are things that we should not use. We shouldn't use white supremacy. Because they're not white. And they showing the hell ain't supreme. But the word has been flying out here. And because it's been in the news, the idea of a white supremacist is a neo-Nazi. Is the so-called Proud Boys. Is the so-called fascists. No. No. It is a system in itself. It is a system in itself. I like this quote here. I think that it is on point by a legal scholar named Francis Lee Inslee. By white supremacy, I do not mean to allude only to the self-conscious racism of white supremacist hate groups. And that's what happens when Chris Wallace asked Trump, will you disavow white supremacist groups? It ain't about the group. It is about a system. White supremacy. I do not mean to allude only to the self-conscious racism of white supremacist hate groups. I refer instead to a political, economic, and cultural system in which whites overwhelmingly control power and material resources. Conscious and unconscious ideas of white superiority and entitlement are widespread, and relationships of white dominance on non-white subordinates are daily reenactments across the board in an array of institutions and social settings. That's what real, that's what it really means. And given that particular definition, you can understand they're all, just like every president was a white supremacist, because their whole thing, including Barack Obama, because what was the idea of the president of the United States? To do what? To maintain and sustain the privilege that they had created. To enact laws that made sure that it can maintain itself. Now, granted, there are some things that they had to do. They had to continuously give you the illusion of inclusion. Last night after the loss of my Lakers to the Miami Heat, before I turned the channel to watch the football game, the Eagles and the 49ers, Blackish came on. And Blackish was doing a piece on voting. And it was a good piece. And then they did an animated piece on Brother Anthony Anderson's character running for public office and how he had to sell himself and so forth. But the voting piece was his dealing with his son. His son had registered and then was off the rolls for a number of reasons. Then he started looking at the history and the fact that in this society, they always try ways to help you not to vote, and even if you did vote, that it still didn't mean the kind of substantive change that you thought would happen. You know? Because the reality is, they don't give a damn about anything else but maintaining and sustaining the privilege that they created. No, white supremacy is the people who you don't even know. Those rich one percenters who have billions and billions of dollars. This is not just the tiki torch carrying, khaki wearing people that Trump said. They're good people on both sides. Or just like he said in the that fiasco last week. I'm not just going to denounce those groups. I'm also going to denounce the Infada and the left wing groups. There were more of them out there creating havoc and destruction than I thought. And the reason why he's incapable of doing it, others will do it, but it ain't about when you disavow something. There's only some stuff that you say. Because it's not what you say, it's what you do. And he has shown consistently to be a person who holds a position for Caucasians. But look at the history of them. Look at the history. I know Winston Churchill, who I can't stand. But I know for those who love Britain, Winston Churchill is a great man. He is a great man. Just like for those who understand the exploits of Caucasians going out and taking everybody's stuff in the name of, those individuals were great men. Those individuals who took. And believe me, that mindset is that it's because of who they are and how they develop. It is their right to go take people's stuff because they have developed into the, but they are the perfect ones to impose their beliefs on others. They are the top in human development. Like I said, they came up with this. This is not something that was ordained. They want you to believe that. They want you to believe that. They want you to believe that from a religious aspect, cultural aspect, of course, political aspect, definitely economic, that they, Europeans, Caucasians, white people. So white supremacy is not just some of the reactionary groups, which of course the FBI has said that the most dangerous groups in this country are these right-wing, alt-right reactionary groups, the most violent. Look for yourself. Look what happened in the shutdown. Did you see brothers and sisters going up into state capitals with guns? Did you see brothers and sisters with guns going up into the state capitals to tell them to open up the society so we can play freely without restraint? Did you see that? No. You saw Caucasian groups. And did you see the authorities do anything? No. Did you see in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which I'm familiar with, being from Milwaukee, Kenosha lies almost perfectly in between Milwaukee on the north and Chicago on the south, right at the border of us Illinois-Wisconsin line. And that when that Caucasian kid, 17 years old, and all those other militia people, the police department were assisting, giving them water and so forth, yucking it up. So I'm saying, we do not understand. See, that's our problem. That is our problem. We do not understand. Neely Fuller said it best. If you do not understand, and of course, I don't use white supremacy as a phrase or a word. But if you do not understand European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, what it is and how it functions, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And brothers and sisters, I maintain that we are so confused, but we're confused in our confusion. And that's, damn it, how confused we are. We don't have a clue. We believe that we can legislate them. We believe that we can use moral persuasion. We believe that there's somehow, some way that these crackers will have an epiphany. It is not in them to do so. This will never change. And because they're so entrenched, it will never happen. You will never have Brother Ralph, thank you. You will never have true equality with Europeans. Because innately, because of their human development and what they were able to do coming, you know, not necessarily the Ice Age, because they developed and they went down, You know, and both times, the knowledge that they got came at the feet of our people. Before Greece became whatever the hell they think it is, they sat at the feet of African people in Kemet. Everything about Greece in terms of its architecture, in terms of its theology, in terms of its philosophy, everything came out of Kemet, or what they called Egypt. The same with Rome. And look at those behaviors of those societies, particularly as it related to women. Turned women off. Turned the women off so bad. Where did the women go? To the island of Lesbo. Hence the word lesbian. The island of Lesbo. Back about 5 or so years ago when there was a big immigration and a big push to go into Europe, and many other European countries, or excuse me, a proper word, some of the European countries welcomed it because of their population decrease. They welcomed some of these Syrian refugees because they weren't African, they weren't dark-skinned. They were just like them, but of course they had a different religion, but maybe they can overcome that. Especially in Austria and in Germany, because their population is so damn old. They got to get young folks to do some damn work. So they kind of welcome it. But one of the boats stopped on the island of Lesbo. I was like, okay. You know, they stopped in Crete and other places as well, of course, trying to get to the mainland of Europe. Help me out with this discussion. We have a caller. 646-646. Good morning.
Adios. What's happening, brother? How was your weekend, man?
I tell you, Jay, it was a good weekend, brother. It really was. I didn't do much. Watched my grandsons play basketball and took them around. I missed a couple of Zoom calls. Oh, well. But it was a good weekend, man. It was a good weekend. Yes, it was.
Hey, listen, man. Let me ask you. Do you recall and remember who Bigger Thomas is?
Bigger Thomas from Richard Wright's book, Native Son? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this right quick. What is your perception of Bigger Thomas?
Well, having read the book back in the day and, of course, seen one of the movies about him, I mean, he was just a brother that was just like any other brother that grows up here in the States, you know? I mean, unfortunately, he knew not to really mess with white folks. But, of course, the Caucasian girl who was inebriated and somehow the accident happened and she died, and he tried to cover it up as opposed to saying, hey, you know, this is what happened. But of course, you know, he was probably going to get blamed for it anyway. And that's that was his fear, you know.
Well, you know, it was funny. I was thinking of Bigger Thomas, and I was thinking of the guy from The Killer Mockingbird.
No, okay.
When I saw a picture of Research West. Better yet, I'm going to have to change his name to God Bless America. After I saw Research West on the Democracy Now! Show, like a wild-eyed, bushy-tailed Negro with what do they call those things? Overalls on, talking about boycott peaches and boycott pecans. And then he says, God bless America. God bless Troy Davis.
God bless who? Troy Davis. Oh, this must be a long time ago.
This was like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, Wes. All I could say is my whole perception of you has absolutely changed. And you know what did it to me, brother? It was them overalls. if I've ever seen the Negro look like a country bumpkin my life.
I mean,
Wes is my man. I love Wes. Wes is Research Wes. But I may have to change it to Overworld Wes or Country Wes God Bless America Wes. I got to figure out which one I want to change to his new name. Because, you know, my brother is Little Joe. I like Little Joe. And, you know, but Wes has now taken it to another level. I think Wes may be around 6'4", 280 pounds. He reminds me, he may be an Alabama Atlanta Buck. Wes, you are my brother. God bless America.
Okay.
Anytime a man could say boycott peaches and boycott pecans, and in the same sentence say God bless America and God bless Troy Davis, you special, Wes. You special. I love you, brother.
Well,
you made me feel good to know that the American Negro is still out front and center. Now let's get back to what you were talking about.
So he had on some bib overalls, much like what Jose and Williams used to wear all the time.
There you go, brother.
Okay, and Andy Young go. and when the freedoms. Man. Okay. All
right. When I saw the bib overalls, and I saw him with the damn headlights when Amy Goodman went to him, and he said boycott peaches. And then he went to God Bless America, and then he went God Bless Troy Davis. I tell you, I ain't never fell on the floor that fast in my life. I mean, it was like a Bigger Thomas cartoon characterization of what a good Negro is, man. Uh-huh. Oh, man, you got to see it. It was beautiful.
It was
remarkable, man. And the beautiful thing about it is, he was the first one that Amy Goodman spoke to. So you don't have to watch the video below. It's at the 127 mark,
okay.
And it's over by 135, and you can go on about your business. But it was just one hell of a sight for you to see a brother, and my brother Research West, Country West, Pumpkin West, I don't know, man. He my brother. But I tell you, it was beautiful.
All right. Let's get back to it.
It will go down in history as one of my favorite moments of seeing and listening to a Negro evolve into now becoming Research West.
Well, it's hey, beautiful, we always, and that's what we should do. Brother, that's what we should do. We should all evolve from where we were to where we need to be.
Listen, he did a 180 in Negroism. I mean, he went from God Bless America to now Research West.
Well, right on. I mean, we all have awakenings. I mean, you know, from what we were back in the days. I mean, I espoused integration back in the day. You know, I believe that, you know, that we could somehow, you know,
coming out of you.
Appeal.
Oh, it was that light-skinnedness coming out of you. I understand, brother.
Look, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
Don't be upset with yourself. It was, you know, it was that painted, you know, what you call them, blood cells.
That's right. That's the same thing Malcolm said.
Trying to rid your body. Yeah. That's all, brother.
I hear you. You know, well, listen.
Hold on 1 second. Oh, I cannot believe you just told me you were at one time. Was an integration. Do you see how the Sky Daddy works in a beautiful way to take you from being an assimilist Negro to an African man, make you stand up, fight harder and stronger for your people than ever? And hey, that's what you're supposed to. You're supposed to evolve once you get knowledge and wisdom.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's it.
No, so, you know, exactly.
I respect that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the only thing you can't tell me is you was messing with some white women. Now, don't reveal that truth, okay?
No.
Don't do that.
I didn't do that, brother.
Don't leave that one alone.
No, I didn't go there. I didn't go there. I'm going to take a break. Just because of your ass, Jay, I'm going to take a break. But when we come back, man, we're going to talk more about this white supremacy bull, okay?
We got to.
All right,
brother.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please won't you come back? Hey, please won't you come back? Hey, please won't you come back? Put the power into me. Put the power into me. Put the power into me.
Down.
It ain't over yet, brothers and sisters. It ain't over.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, of course, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central. And then after that, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, 7 p.m. to 9, after 7 with host Shani B. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. You know, the conference is coming up. And I hope that you'll be able to participate. The Pan-African Federalist Movement conference is coming up. And this Friday I'll have Brother Mstada, the chairperson, will not be able to make it, but the executive director, Brother Sangar Bay out of D.C. will be there, and Brother Sam on this Friday. So we'll have that conversation.
We have a buying power of $1.2 trillion. But what are we doing with it? The Regional Coordinating Committee for the Pan-African Federalist Movement in North America invites you to the North American Pan-African Federalist Convention. This year's theme is African Political Unity for Sovereignty and Upliftment. So join us as we take action and prepare for the Global Pan-African Conference live October 15th to 19th via Zoom. Register now at eventbrite.com/Pan-African Federalist Convention.
You know, what's interesting about that is a lot of
things happening around the same time, you know, and I know that we should have coordinated efforts in terms of you know, what we should be doing with conferences and so forth. I wish we really would and should have those coordinated efforts, because that's what we need to have, you know? So, and of course, I love this particular piece.
We have a buying power of $1.2 trillion. But what are we doing with it? The Regional Coordinating Committee.
Oh, that's the same one. African Federalist Movement. That's the same one. Where is that at? Apologize. Let me find that for you right quick. Oh, okay. I'll tell you. Thought I had it queued up. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You should have things queued up. So in effort, so you can have a nice flow as opposed to, you know, going through this problem that I'm having here. And here we go.
We can share the link. They held a ceremony to pull the troops out, Rwandan troops out of the Congo. Then
I'll find it and I'll play it later. My bad. Let's get back to the discussion that we're having today, which I feel is a very important discussion. Because it's a subject that, because we don't control the narrative here. And when we hear things consistently, and because we don't have another reference, an African reference, a perspective that is different than what we're constantly hearing. So that you constantly hear, you begin to believe. You begin to embrace it. Because number one, America or Europeans or Caucasians profess to be universal. That whatever they say, whatever they do is universally accepted as the norm. They don't give a damn about other cultures, other people, other parts of the world. They don't give a damn about nothing. They've imposed. In fact, that's what it is, brothers and sisters, it's cultures. You know, that's why I don't use the word race. When I see the word race, I immediately, you know, and you can do what I've done. I hope that you would. Is to train your mind that when you see something, when you see that word or you see that image and so forth, you can train your mind to put it into a perspective that is more African-centered, that is in compliance with what we should believe, what we should promote, what we should espouse. So when I see the word black, I automatically put African on it. And if it deals with American Africans, and I do use those phrases, because Africa is the noun. Africa is a noun. Africa describes a person, place, or thing. There's a word, Africa is a suffix. Is a suffix. There's a word that goes in front of it, and that is the word that is being described. So the word that goes in front of African, if we were here in America, is American African. That's what we are. We are American Africans. Imagine if all of the brothers and sisters across the globe, wherever we are, we've embraced Africa. So if we're in the Caribbean and we're in Jamaica, we're Jamaican Africans, Cuban Africans, Barbadoan Africans, Trinidadian Africans, Cuban Africans. If we're in Central America, we're Honduran Africans, Belize Africans, South America, Colombian Africans, Brazilian Africans, more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. Brazilian Africans, because we made our claim, we made our stake. We have
aligned ourselves with Mother Africa, birthplace of humanity, birthplace of us as a people. So we have staked that claim and we have put our heart and our soul and our spirit into Africa. So we're American African, Canadian Africans, German Africans, French Africans. Africa is the noun. And so we don't claim, as some of us have tried and many, you know, oh, I'm French, you know. Just because, as Malcolm said it best, just because a cat has kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits. Just because we were born here, I don't make the claim to be an American. I don't make that claim. And I don't use African-American. I use American-African. Because African-American is like African without memory and American without privilege. Because you lose. You lose. And we are a people who lose. A good brother, Dr. Jake Beeson in Milwaukee, one of the first ones who desperately tried to put the history of our people in classrooms. In fact, that one year we walked out of high school was because of him and for him. He wrote a book, Why We Lose. You know, in fact, I helped promote his book. I sold his book when I would go to conferences for the black firefighters, so forth. Yeah. And, you know, we lose because, brothers and sisters, we have been trained not to embrace who we are. We've been trained not to come to grips with our Africanness and respect that. We've been trained to hate ourselves, and ultimately we hate each other, and we hate our women, you know. So I'm saying is that what we must do, what we must do, and believe me, it's an evolutionary process, that we begin to embrace it, you know, that we begin to embrace who we are as African people. And that's what we must do. You know, that's what is imperative of us to do, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, I tell you. So, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, this idea of race and racism is embraced by Europeans, period. Doesn't matter. Germans, French, Spanish, Norwegians, Dutch, all of them. They all embraced it. They all embraced it, and they, you know, when they embraced it in Greece, then later, of course, they embraced it in Rome. The foundation of Greece and Rome, in terms of their theology, their methodology, their governance, all of that is African. They sat at our feet. Then they went into a decline, a dark age, a medieval age. No learning going on. You know, punitive measures, and then later the Inquisitions. I mean, you know, I've always said on this program, always will say, one thing Europeans have always found a better way to do is to kill your ass. You know, when you look at the devices that they created during the Inquisition, you know, man. I mean, it's just torture and death. As Dr. Leonard Jeffy used to say, there are about three things, three Ds, death, domination, and destruction. Death, domination, and destruction. Look at the planet. Who are the leading people on this planet the last 100-some years? Europeans. Caucasians. Who are the people that went around everywhere taking people's stuff in the name of? Europeans, Caucasians. Look at the environment today because of Europeans, Caucasians. When they were told 30-something years ago, hey, listen, stop doing this. You're going to mess up the planet. You're going to cause the planet to go through some evolutionary changes that may not be reversible. Stop it. Start now by doing these things. You know, he says, stop. Man. I tell you. Hey, Jay, welcome back.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this, in all seriousness. And this is something that I have a hard time dealing with our people sometimes, that we really don't get. Why shouldn't a European behave in the manner in which he behaves if it's gotten him what it's gotten him? And why shouldn't we as Africans, like other people who have regained their sovereignty, behaved and acted like this European? Now, the only difference I would say is that if we were to act and behave like this European, once we gave or we got back our sovereignty, we would have to try to live by a certain code and behavior unless we had to act in the European fashion. So I can't get mad at white people for what they do, because what they're doing is they're protecting their position on the planet to not become what? Extinct. They like the, you know, they don't want to become the dinosaurs. They don't want to give up what they have. You know what I mean? But what you do have the right to do is do what the Chinese did. And that's why I respect the Chinese on that front. Mao closed down shop, took care of what he had to take care of. And now look at them. They're the most powerful nation on basically the planet, and they go about the business of doing their thing. They just less savage than the white man, that's all, but they savages. They go in there and they try to do the same things that the white man do around the world, but only with a smile.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, we have to realize the position we as Africans are in and what we have to do to get out of this position. And there has to be, and there must be, a whole lot of South African burning neckties.
Well, you know, the thing is that the European, the way he, when he came out of that, as I was about to lead into that, coming out of that European dark age, medieval age, and the only light in Europe that was happening in terms of knowledge was, of course, the Moors, who occupy the western part of Europe, particularly Spain and what is now Spain and Portugal, and the Iberian Peninsula. And for 700 years, they came and sat at the feet of these brothers, and they learned how to clean up their castle, corral their animals, and take baths, and develop waters and aqueducts and lighting, and a number of things that the Moors had given them. And so finally, some European leadership, Martel, Charlemagne, and many others, they said, listen, we may war amongst ourselves, and boy, we truly do, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. Because when they went around the world, and this is where I believe Frances Cress Welsing began to understanding and get her perspective on color of confrontation and the fact that they were in fear of genetic annihilation. Because when they began to go around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, They also rape women. And they noticed the offspring did not look like them. And so their understanding was, you know, we're a small group on this planet. You know, they're a much more smaller group because they have been dwindling. They have been experiencing negative population growth for decades. You know, for fact, when they first started talking about it, and Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioned the demographers saying that the demographics of this country by the year 2050 will be the so-called minority will maybe the majority. You know, well, that has changed. Now they're talking about by 2040, between 2035 and 2040, of course, this is only 15 to 20 years from now, that they will be a numerical, quote, minority on here in America. But of course, they're stemming the tide on that, especially as it relates to us, because the person with the greatest potential to annihilate their ass, of course, is us. Because of a melanin. That's why there is a strong push for anti-abortions. There's a strong push for miscegenation laws and so forth. Because they are in fear of genetic. And that is global. That's global. I just mentioned the fact that they were welcoming immigrants about 5 years ago who came out of the Syrian conflict that was happening in the Middle East because they wanted people to work. They needed people to work because their populations are older. Their mean age in the population is around about 40-something years old. Definitely past childbearing years. They're not having children. They're having negative. For every two that die, only one is born. And what happened to us is our population has decreased because of a number of factors. Mass incarceration, homosexuality, drug and substance abuse, and other stuff. And of course, only dealing with Caucasian women, you know, it's just like what they tried to do with other populations after the enslavement of us was over. They said, well, if slavery is over, we want to get rid of these African people. So we're going to kill them, corral them, or we're going to birth them out. So we'll have sex as Caucasian men with African women. And then the offspring will be taken from them after they've nurtured them. And these children will only have sex with Caucasian men. And so
that's what the Chinese are basically doing now. If you notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going into Africa and reproducing with African women to try and make some sort of claim.
Exactly.
Of having Africanness.
Exactly. And so they can make a claim on the land. So they can make a claim on the land. Yeah.
And unfortunately, we go along with that sickness.
Well, also too, Jay, a lot of Chinese don't have Chinese women. If you remember, they killed, just like in India, they killed a lot of the females at birth. Fratricide. Infanticide.
Yes.
They kill a lot of females at birth, you know. So, I mean, the dynamics of other populations as it relates to Africans is really adverse, and we need to understand that and begin to work on that. We are in a terrible situation because of our lack of knowledge of self and any cultural cohesion. We are at the mercy of others, and because us here in America, because we have been bought and sold this whole damn foul-ass idea of what America is, that is really detrimental to us. You know,
yes.
It doesn't work for us, and it will never work for us. Because it's never intended to. You know, let me get another caller here, Jay. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon, and good afternoon, Brother Jay.
Hey, brother.
Good afternoon, my brother Marcus.
Yes. You know, these Europeans, you know, if you really put them under the magnifying glass, you realize that they are the misfits on the planet, you know. It's them who are the little misfits on this planet creating all the havoc. And they talk about black and black violence. But the greatest destruction, wasn't it white folks? Wasn't it white folks in there, where they call it so-called World War I and World War II? I don't know if it was a world war because it was being fought in Europe. but it was white people killing white people in mass.
In
World War III, it's going to be white people again killing white people. Because you see what's happening over there now in the Caucasus Mountains. You see what's happening in the where they, that's where they originate from, the Caucasus Mountains over there. With Abidjan, what do you call Abidjan and whatever,
In Afghanistan, Kurdistan, yeah. And all that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Killing former Yugoslavia. And much, you see, so they can't help themselves. They are just natural killers.
Right.
I think that's in their DNA.
Yes, it is,
and
brother.
If they mix with us, that's their destruction too. Because our germ plasma is more dominant than theirs. So if that child that is born of that product between that white and that black mix with another black in the next two generations, they wash out the white people. They wash them out. So they are on the decline. We see that. But their intent is to take as many people with them on their journey to death. Because that's who they are.
Well, see, Marcus and listeners, I don't believe that Caucasians are capable of sharing. I don't believe that they're capable of being honest and being forthright and righteous. And no, they're not. They're incapable of that. They can't do it.
Yes.
It is not in their DNA. You know,
it's not. It's not. And they look, these people would have given them land. When they came to America, the red man would say, here, give them the land. Say, here, take it. He still got to kill. He say, I got to kill. I just got to kill. Killing to them is like sex to black people. It's something good. You see, that's just their nature. They ain't gonna... You know, they get a Charlie from it, I'm telling you. So, they're not redeemable. They're not redeemable. They're on their way out, and we are ascending. They can't stop this here. They can't stop this train now. It's just that we got to jump off their train.
Yes, sir.
Their train is heading for the precipice.
Yeah.
And we got to get off quick, fast, and in a hurry. Are we going to go over the precipice with them?
That's right. That's right. Hold on, Jay.
We care. We don't care because we're out of our minds. Because we're out of our minds. A lot of our people just out of their minds. You know, they have done a good job on our minds as a people. They totally, well, you say slavery wasn't the destruction of the body. It was the destruction of the mind. You know, and I don't think we're going to solve our problem living in their environment. You know, because they control this environment. They control the information. They control the food. They control the water. They control the medical system. They control the university. So how are you going to solve your problem living in with him? We got to extract ourselves out of this environment and go into a totally different way. We control our people. We have some control over them. Because, look, it's going to take some pain to correct our people. We got to be honest. They say love is universal language. Hell no. It's pain. You don't do as I say, all right, I got something for you. That's why they have to have police, soldiers, and are kind of killing implements to let people do the right thing. Because people are not going to volunteer and do the right thing. You got to have, hey, if you don't do the right thing, I got something over there for you. I'll say, hey. Even the nut, no pain. Even the crazy person in the nut house, he understand pain. And that's what it's going to take. We're trying to love our way out of this. It ain't going to work because they will destroy you. Look how much of our leaders they destroy. Our own people. Destroy them. And there is no repercussion. All our traitors die of old age. Die in bed.
Yeah.
See, because there is no repercussion. You do wrong and you get rewarded. You get rewarded for bad behavior.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's You know, I don't have no hope for this place. That's all, you know, for me, I ain't trying to reform this place. You know, no. I got a plan to get out.
That's right.
Because that's the only way.
It is the only solution. It is the only solution for African people.
The only thing it's going to take, Marcus, is a whole bunch of heads being chopped off like any true revolutionary system in society would do. You got to kill the enemy. You can't look for the Sky Daddy to reform the enemy. You can't look for the Sky Daddy to save you, because if the Sky Daddy was really real and he cared about, as people say, we are his chosen people, he'd have rid us of this cracker a long damn time ago. So that's why I've never been a true believer in Sky Daddyism, because why would the Sky Daddy let his people suffer in the manner in which we suffer at the hands of this filthy, stinking, no-good cracker? I just want to know. I don't understand it. That's not my rationale in life. If somebody is supposed to be there to save you from harm, like a mother and a father is there most of the time to save their child from harm, why does Sky Daddy ain't come down and save us from this absolute madness and brutality? Why? Why? Ask yourself that question. And if you can answer it, hey, answer it. But I don't believe in it, because it's no way in hell a just God could allow our people to suffer in the manner in which we're suffering, under the auspice that he's going to come down and save our black ass.
I'm telling you. When they said, God bless America. So my friend said, well, God bless
you. That's West New Day. That's West New Day. God bless America. It's not we say West no more. It's God bless America in heavenly. God bless America in midlife. When I see headlights, I'm going to, for the rest of my life, think about West saying, God bless America. Because that's what he looks like. Headlights. Like he's in headlights. Look at the picture, Marcus. Pick it up. It's 1:27.
Yeah.
And you'll see him when he makes the statement. He looked like he had headlights. And you know why I'm telling the truth? Because Oshie done been on the page looking at it, and he shaking his head.
Damn, Jay, you're right. I hate to admit it.
Oshie, hey, listen, Marcus. After I said what I said, I know Oshie on the break ran to the computer, Googled it, dropped it, but I know how he got it. I'm not going to name my brother's name, because I ain't going to call him out, because I know he's going to choke me for this anyway. So I'm not going to name my good brother who sent OC the tape. OC looked at the tape, and OC said, this damn day ain't got no sense whatsoever. But he said, damn, the man don't look like he had headlights. That's what he said. God bless America in headlights.
What happens to us is that we are mesmerized. Just like Stevie Wonder says, we're all amazed and not amused of all the things that you say that you do. In fact, Wonder was that great visionary, because he said, when you believe in things that you don't understand, you suffer. Yeah. You suffer.
That's right.
And we have been a suffering people because we believe in stuff we truly don't understand, from the theology that these people imposed upon us, from the governmental aspect that they imposed upon us, the monetary stuff, all of this stuff. Everything that has been imposed upon us is not for our good, but for them, and to keep us wanting, to keep us in a suspended perpetual state of ignorance and wanting, and of course division. We are consistently divided.
Do you realize how deep that lyric is? Do you realize? And think about this, O. He wrote that lyric over 50 years ago.
Wow.
Almost 50 years ago. Do you think about it? Just think about how deep that lyric is.
Yeah.
Because 50 years later,
it, and it's as prevalent today as it was
when he said it.
Based on his involvement into spirituality that manifested over the time that we were enslaved here. Think about that, oh?
Yeah.
Think about how deep it is that those words 50 years ago could be used today and ain't a damn thing change. And what do they say something good about us? Or that, do that say something about his poetic vision? I mean, that's deep, old. That song right there is so deep that I don't even think we really understand it.
Very superstitious.
I got to listen to it. I got to listen to that song around 3 or 4 times today to really get a feel for it because it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is this, is that we have been trained to fear. And fear is, what is that acronym? False evidence appearing real. That's one of the acronyms. But we have been trained to fear. And they put fear into us. The theology is deeply fearful. The government is deeply fearful. The prison industrial complex is deeply fearful. You know, and so we operate in that way. And one of the things that have been shown for us to be very fearful of is uniting, coming together. They understood, the European understood, that's one thing that we're going to fight hard to do. I will never forget reading Zygmunt Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. Zygmunt Brzezinski looks like a sinister, evil scientist, you know, beady eyes, a very evil looking man, you know, and
devil,
no doubt. And he said that we will do everything possible that the Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora do not hang, you know, do not hook up, do not come together, you know, because they understand that if that happens, no, and when that happens, let's say it this way, when that happens, it's over for them. Not that it's over for them in terms, but it's over for them in terms of manipulating our minds. It's over for them to controlling us as African people and controlling our continent and controlling our resources. It's over for them. And they know it. And so whatever, and so now we have still today, we have all these Negroes, all these people who are willing to stand in front of Caucasians and to take those hits. They've trained many Negroes very well. And many of them in the halls of the academia of these so-called universities, these great universities that America has touted, Michigan State and Michigan and the University of Georgia. And so I could graduate from the University of Georgia, you know, and I got my master's degree and my bachelor's degree and my doctorate degree, you know, and then arguing these particular points and never understanding that all they have ever been about was to maintain and sustain the privilege that they, as Caucasians, have set, not for your ass, but for them, you know? And so we have been trained to take pride in that. We have been trained to tout that as great accomplishments and so forth. But let me read this once again so we clearly understand what racism is and what it is not. That is the title of this program. What is the real meaning of it? Because when you, you know, it's like when Mike Wallace said, not Mike Wallace, what's his name? Whatever that was, Wallace's son. Anyway, he said, will you disavow?
Chris Wallace.
He said, will you disavow white supremacy? You know, and so forth.
Why should he?
Yeah. And see, the thing is this. See, they have crafted it to such a way that you believe that white supremacy is a small hate group. It's the neo-Nazis, it's the skinhead, these so-called Proud Boys. It's all of this. No, white supremacy is the system itself. White supremacy is the government. White supremacy is the monetary system. White, everything in the body is in control. Let me read you this. This is a from a legal scholar, Francis Lee Inslee. By white supremacy, I do not mean to allude only to the self-conscious racism of white supremacists or hate groups. I refer instead to a political, economic, and cultural system in which whites overwhelmingly control power and material resources, conscious and unconscious ideas of white superiority and enlightenment
are widespread, and relations of white dominance and non-white subordination are daily reenacted across the board in an array of institutions and social gathering. When you know your damn place, when you know that you ain't supposed to be there, when you know that that ain't for you, that has been reserved for them. And believe me, many of us understand that because we have been so indoctrinated. We've been so inculcated into understanding those dynamics. That's what it is. So it ain't no damn hate groups. In fact, what was interesting, the rise of the internet, there was two things on the internet, and I believe it is true today as it was when the internet was first being developed back about 15, 20 years ago. You know, the main thing on the internet was porn and hate groups. Porn and hate groups. And I venture to say it's that way even to this day. The most predominant thing on the internet is pornography and hate groups. Because Europeans control the internet. Europeans control every damn thing. Look at the internet that view. I mean, there's brothers who've been on Facebook who try to put some conscious stuff out there. Next thing you know, you don't see them no more. Because why? They in Facebook jail because of the content they put out. I guess I've been deemed anti-American or anti-Caucasian or whatever. Or too strong, too black, or too African. And so, you know, you don't see them, you know, or you don't see their post anymore, you know. But to me, the most important thing that is necessary for us is a consistent bombardment of African consciousness. When I said earlier, Jay, that, you know, I was an integrationist, I was a member of the NACP, but that was the thing. Then I went to open housing march to back in Milwaukee. We went across because Milwaukee, still to this very day, is one of the most segregated cities in America. There have been defined lines of segregation in Milwaukee, you know, physically defined lines, you know. And so when we marched across the 16th Street Viaduct, you know, we were met by bottles and bricks and, you know, whatever, you know. And
Bibles?
Huh?
You said Bibles?
No, bottles. Bottles, glass bottles, bottles and bricks. Bible, yeah. Throw the Bible at our ass.
White man to greet you with Bibles now.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh no, that's how they got us. Just like all the others said, you know, when the Caucasian came with the Bible, we had the land. He told us to close our eyes and pray. We had the Bible, and they got the land. They don't believe in no damn Bible. They don't believe in that stuff. You know. Everything is about, you know, everything is just like this European Jewish theology. That's not religious. You know, it's for material gain. That was designed so they could take the land from the Palestinians. They don't believe in that stuff. You know, in fact, they're not the Hebrews of the Bible to begin with. You know, and so a lot of things that are happening on the planet that our understanding of it, we need to put into an African perspective. Because by doing so, it protects us and it secures us in the knowledge of who we are so we can get our own to act together. I mean, it's just consistently ridiculous, the things we have I've been reading and hearing about the continent. That's why it's so important that we go reclaim it, that we go help brothers and sisters on the kind of reclaiming when everybody else is there, when the Chinese are talking about putting 300,000 Africans in the on the continent, 300 million, you know. And just like you said earlier, Jay, that they have Chinese who have been there now who are marrying African women to basically stake their claim to land on the continent.
Just think about it. 300 million of another people placed on your continent, on your land, to do what? To control you again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that that just goes to show the type of evil that we're dealing with.
And see, well, the purpose, of course, is to get the kind of land that there will be agri-growers. They will provide the food and everything for the mainland China. It ain't like it's just like the mainland Europeans. The mainland Europeans, they didn't come here. They didn't come here. You know, they're not the aristocrats. They kept their ass in wherever they were, in England, in France, in Spain, and so forth. A lot of the people they sent here were prisoners, just like in Australia, what is now called Australia. The vast majority of the people, the British people that went there were criminals. They had emptied their jails, you know? But the bottom line. Huh?
It was criminals that came here.
Yes.
And you know they have to be criminals based on what they've done. Only a criminal, sick, twisted mind would have done to the Native Americans what they did when the Native Americans were the ones who saved the bastards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who allowed them to make it through
the
first winter.
Yeah.
Man, this white man is something. Ooh, he's something.
And then also,
you mean to say it ain't Pilgrim's brother? You mean to say it ain't the Pilgrims? You sure it ain't the Pilgrim's brother?
Yeah, the Pilgrim.
Oh, man, the Puritans. This white man is one amazing savage, man.
And then you see how they consistently flip the script. It's just like with cannibalism. Cannibalism is not African, but they put into the minds of the people around the world that Africans were cannibals. They have pictures of us boiling explorers and so forth in big pots and so forth. We had a bone through our nose and a rag up our ass. These are the images, and one of the perpetrators of those images are the European Jews. They're the ones who ever dominate and control Hollywood at that time, and even still today. Let's be real. See, one of the things I tried my best to do is do the research. I ain't researched West, but the things that I say, I'm not giving you my opinion. I don't give my opinion because my opinion is profane. Very profane. Because I hate these motherfuckers.
Like Research West.
Like Research West. But what I try to give you is based upon the scholarly research of our historians, our scholars, those brothers and sisters who looked at this stuff for what it is and then began to comment on this stuff. Because see, when I think about these Europeans, I think about the men and women who stepped outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have set. I think of men and women who understood that these Caucasians had put a vice grip on our minds. And they understood that that tool has a knob at the end of the handle. So they were providing the knowledge of self, information and consciousness, so thereby you can turn that knob and release that vice grip. Because just as Franz Fanon said, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. They've been trained to believe they're superior. And there ain't a damn thing that we can do or say that can change otherwise. They have no interest at all of being right, of being fair, of being just. It is not in them to do so. You know? And so he's saying that, you know, that they say that even though the history is there, everything is there to prove that they're not superior. But yet they dismiss it. They ignore it because it does not fit into their cultural narrative of who they are. So they don't give a damn about what we say or do. It's just like the Caucasian lady, Dr. D'Angelo, who came up with the term white fragility. She says that white folks are fragile. Their egos are fragile. They don't want to hear about how evil they are. It's just like what Trump said recently about the critical race theory and the 1619 problem. I don't want to hear about how evil we are, segregated. No, we're gonna institute a patriotism curriculum, patriot curriculum, where we talk about how good the Europeans were, how they expand the West and brought civilization to people who didn't have it and did all of these great things, all these great inventions, all the things that modernized and da-da-da, all this BS. See, the reality is that we do not understand what we're dealing with. When we believe in things we don't understand, we suffer. And we are a suffering people because we've been trained to and made to believe these things without our understanding and our consent and our knowledge. And we're directed that way. That's why I don't really, hey y'all, I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on the perpetrators of these dastardly, nefarious deeds, Europeans, Caucasians. And I put nothing past them to maintain their dominance and control. They truly do suffer from cognitive dissonance. They truly do have a fragile ego, a concept of themselves. They really do practice hegemony or hegemony, whatever, how you want to pronounce that word. But the whole idea is what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine, because I'm at the top. I'm at the top. Because to the European, might makes right. We got another caller. 267-267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Osha. I know you're right at the end of your program.
I sure is.
You were talking about that Stevie Wonder lyric, when you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer. Well, let's add politics to that.
Yeah.
Let's add politics to that. Because, you know, anytime that we back a party that's had their foot up our ass since I can remember.
Yeah, the Democratic Party.
Let's add that to it.
Yeah.
I know you're at the end of the program. I just had to, like, squeeze that one in there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Man, thanks a lot, Rel. Peace to you, dear brother. And thanks for that peace, too.
Yes. Oh, man. Wow. Hey, but you know what else? I'm going to tell you the truth. That's exactly what I visioned.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I visioned, brother. All right, man.
All right.
Take care.
Peace, y'all. Listen, brothers, I appreciate all those who have listened, all those who have called in. This is a very tough topic. It's a topic that a lot of our people are afraid to deal with, afraid to talk about. You know, racism is an issue that many of us, because we've been trained not to talk about it, will be fearful of it. But it is at the core of the problem that we are experiencing as a people, you know, trying to understand what it is and what it isn't. And there's no such thing as race, but of course, because we continue to believe that it is, that these problems will persist. And so as soon as we, as African people, come together and deal with these problems, and purge ourselves of the ignorance that has been happening to us, and come together and put aside all the petty differences, all the political don't come to the damn table. Be like Malcolm. Come to the table open-hearted, open-mind, to deal with the problems that beset our people based upon what these Caucasians have done. Don't come there espousing your theology of Christianity, of Islam, or Seven Day of Venice, or Black Hebrew Israelites. Damn that. Don't come here with it. Don't come here because you're a damn Democrat, or you're a newfound Republican, or you know some other political affiliate. Don't come there with that. Don't come because you are a socialite, or you have this kind of money, or that kind. Don't come there. Come there with the understanding and the knowledge that we are dealing with an entity that has messed up our minds and have taken us from our land and taken us from the responsibility of being parents, of being righteous, of controlling our resources and building for ourselves. Come there with that understanding and let's work this out. And we need to work this out soon. I appreciate it, dear brothers and sisters. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the white man, is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodie, Bivihode means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Peace, family.